Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we have another conversation and visit with the Contemporary Museum. There's a new exhibit about to pop onto the scene called Bearing Witness, and the artists are husband and wife. They're from New York, from Brooklyn, Bradley McCollum and Jacqueline Terry. Good to have you both in the studio. Welcome, and welcome to Baltimore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. So this exhibit, I mean, one thing that's interesting we'll get into in a minute is that is how many museums this encompasses at one time in Baltimore and institutions will it be seen. But you two have been collaborating for how long?
A little more than a decade, officially, but unofficially for 13 years. Really, almost the day after we met, we found ourselves, you know, by the third date, certainly Jackie was in a U-Haul and we were moving cast iron sculptures from a farm field in Wisconsin to Detroit. So
this was right after he told me he was a conceptual artist.
That's another story.
Did he lie?
It actually was very true.
Oh, good. All right, that's good. So let's talk about this exhibit. This is like a 10-year retrospective of the work you two have done. So I'd like to kind of begin, maybe talk a bit about your kind of both a social artistic philosophy about what's behind your work, mm-hmm. give people a sense, because this is work that has a lot of, that speaks to the social cultural mm-hmm. struggles that we have in our world. Talk a bit about.
Sure. I think it was interesting because Irene Hoffman, the director of the Contemporary Museum, a little more than a year ago, just around the Armory weekend in New York, we sat and had lunch and at a Mexican restaurant with a couple of margaritas to boot, and we were sort of imagining what we might do. And the invitation really came to sort of think openly and envision a project. And I was really keen on trying to see not only a new piece to be made, but to see the work that we've done over time be in conversation with each other. Because on the surface, it may seem like these different bodies of work could be done by different people. But I wanted to have an opportunity where the kind of intellectual and conceptual thinking that is entwined with our work has a chance to be knitted together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, Irene's invitation was one of the highlights of my career because she came in and she said, "What would you like to do?"
Uh-huh.
And she left it at that. And that's always something that's really wonderful for an artist to hear, that, you know, the door is open and you can just walk through and sort of, you know, be creative and sort of envision that piece that you've had in the back of your head but didn't know how it would fit or where it would go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really exciting and exhilarating moment when she invited us to come here.
So what is it? Meanwhile, I was reading about seeing pieces of your work. I've only seen, unfortunately, images of your work. Mm-hmm. I've seen the work. I'm dying to see it up at the Contemporary and the Carroll and the Walters and at MICA mm-hmm. and all the places it's going to be in town. But seeing it and then reading what you write on your website, your work is very much fueled by, from what I understand, a sense of life and people at the fringes, at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that.
Well, I think, you know, people who make work come to that process from lots of different points of view. From my own point of view, I feel like it's part of our responsibility is to shepherd a conversation with the viewer, to be engaging a critical thinking about where we are in society, where we are today. And there is the goal to try to not only speak to those of like minds, but to try to move a conversation that engages a diverse sort of community of people. And so I think across the board, Jackie and I try to use our work to be thinking about conversations that are really critical and important to our own life, as well as the kind of experience of empathy we have for others.
Mm-hmm.
So there are within this exhibition very civic-based works that directly tie to that idea of trying to give voice to marginalized members of society and how to find a way of not only knitting together and harnessing that collective voice, but also sort of reframing the way in which we think about the issues that are impacting their lives. And then it moves across the spectrum to another series and body of work that is looking at our own life as an interracial couple, as two families coming together from different points of view and different backgrounds, and how do those personal histories mesh together and pull apart, and what are the legacies of miscegenation and concerns around interracial coupling that we've inherited as part of our union play itself out. So it's, in a way, when you see this exhibition, you see first those concerns exhibited through witness and endurance, the projects that are looking at experiences of people who have been directly involved around police brutality and police violence, either as surviving family members or as victims themselves or police officers, to the most recent video that we just shot in the Engineers Club, which uses that interior extraordinary space as this playground for us to imagine ourselves in various ways.
And, you know, I think that our work is, it starts in a civically based point, but then it moves to like larger issues. I mean, we're dealing, or I like to think of myself as an artist that deals with larger themes of memory and loss and mourning and grief and growth and rejuvenation and all of those grand topics that we tend to think of in terms of art history, and maybe not think of those narratives as relating to police and community relations and homeless youth and teenage mothers. So I like the way they sort of move back and forth between the grand narratives and the personal, and how those narratives affect the way we live. There's a connection there.
We're talking, you just heard Jacqueline Tarry and Bradley McCollum. They are McCallum or McCollum? How do you say it?
McCallum.
McCallum. Who's in a new exhibit is opening because at the Contemporary, because of the Contemporary, called Bearing Witness. It'll be at MICA. It'll be at the Carroll Museum. It'll be a bit at the Walters and clearly at the Contemporary. But talk about you, where you two came from, what both you bring to this as artists. I mean, the mediums that you two are working that cross. What medium did you start in? What medium is your...
Well, in school, I was a philosophy major.
Ah, okay.
So I guess for the first time, I'm going to think of that as my medium.
That's a great medium. I like to think of that. That's a good medium.
And my training was as a sculptor, but I think if you look at our practice, what is at the core is the kind of idea that's generated. There are paintings and photographs. There are videos. There are sculptures, all coming together in this exhibition. But it's not a situation where the labor that goes to make those is divided by medium. Really, we come together around the thinking behind a piece and the ideas behind a piece, and then find a way to make that realized.
I like the idea that we create these environments that are immersive. And so you'll walk into an exhibition and you'll see a decorative element like wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will see paintings. And then you'll see a video. And how that functions differently than the painting, the wallpaper, and the video that you might see in your living room. There's something familiar about it, but yet there's something different. And how those experiences allow different themes to unfold. That idea that there's a familiarity to these mediums, and you encounter them, and then suddenly there's a different thought that comes through that experience.
And because you're mixing these mediums, this is a really, as we were talking about, a real mixture of things. And when you say paintings, these are not all paintings or photographs that you've painted or shot. These are things you've pulled together from history, from life, as well as your own work, and even mix those.
Exactly. They're paintings that are based on photographs. And in our initial idea of whitewash, which is the first iteration of paintings that we did, what was very important was that all of the images were at one time images that were in newspapers. I like the idea that these images were held in someone's hand at one time, and that we had access to them. They weren't images that were tucked away in archives. And that idea of how over time the memory of experiencing an image in a newspaper changes as you see it later, years later, in a painting.
So not only are we taking these found images from history, in one body of work, there's 104 portraits, all based on mugshots that were taken during the Montgomery bus boycott. So to use that as an example for the viewers or listeners, if we look at what we found were on the internet, this collection of 104 mugshots, and they were many mugshots pasted on one page and then photographed and then put up on the web. So that became the source material. We contacted the archive, received their permission, received a high-res scan of those original photographs. We then reframed and cropped those photographs, those mugshots, and used those as the basis, the starting point for painted portraits of each subject.
You painted them?
We worked on the paintings. We also work in an atelier where we bring in a number of different assistants, and in that sense, the painting itself becomes a collective process. So these portraits are painted in a way that have a kind of majestic quality. They feel like they're estate portraits. They're the kind of painting that you would attribute to a prominent member of society, you know, a mayor, a judge.
As they were. And it's this idea of this lowly type of photography. I mean, no one ever wants to have a mugshot taken of them. And how there's this push-pull between a mugshot and what that represents in our mind and a state portrait, a celebratory portrait of someone else. And thinking of this gesture of criminality, this is a 1956 bus boycott. This is the very first of this a series of bus boycotts that took place in Alabama. And so to look at this act that was considered criminal at the time and how over time it's become this celebratory, heroic gesture of liberation and resistance is something that we're really interested in.
And is this whitewash part of this exhibit as well? And it'll
This one piece that we're talking about right now is called Evidence of Things Not Seen, and that's what we exhibited first in New Orleans two years ago. And that will be at the Carroll House, so the Carroll Mansion. So all 104 portraits are hung together and the former winter residence of the signer of the Declaration of Independence, which itself has this kind of wonderful placement in Baltimore. Uh-huh. That body of paintings, you know, came right after sort of a two-year investigation of painting through the whitewash series, mm-hmm. and it became the bridge for a new body of work called Projection. And those paintings are all dealing with the images that we found from film stills to stage photographs and everything from vaudeville performances up to black exploitation films, ways in which entertainment has tried to grapple with race. So mm-hmm. within this exhibition, there really is several years of work and investigation. But what makes these paintings become eerie is that there is actually a second layer that's brought to them. So rather than just leaving the paintings as paintings, we've gone back to the photograph, scanned that original photograph, and then printed that on a very sheer silk, a China silk, that is so translucent that when you look at it, you can both see through it and see the image that floats on the surface of the silk. So that same image of the portrait that's been painted is then put just a few centimeters over, so it floats over the painting. Look through the photograph into the painting, and the experience for the viewer becomes this merger of the two layers of information.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at mecu.com. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we have another conversation and visit with the Contemporary Museum. There's a new exhibit about to pop onto the scene. called Bearing Witness, and the artists are husband and wife. They're from New York, Bradley McCollum and Jacqueline Terry. I want to give our listeners a sense of what they're going to walk through and what they're going to feel in these places that you two have put together for the contemporary and Bearing Witness. So talk about that a little bit, about what you're going to experience as you walk through these different museums.
Well, I think the number one thing you'll experience is you'll experience Baltimore, because not only will you be in multiple to see our exhibition, you'll be in multiple venues and you'll be experiencing the city in between. But to give you a sense of some works and some core themes, at the Carroll Mansion, you'll see all 104 mugshots hung salon style, and you'll hear the voice of Imani Azuri and John Butte doing a call in response of those individuals' names who were arrested. It's a very moving, wonderful, immersive environment. From there, you'll walk across the street to MAP. And within MAP, there is a piece called Within Our Gates, which is a three-channel video based on archived news footage from the civil rights era. And the very first paintings from the whitewash series that were done in 2006, which you can really see the arc of our progress and movement of that body of work from those paintings. You'll see work from a project called Silence and a video called Topsy Turvy. All of the themes within MAP are dealing with sort of the legacy of slavery and the early kind of the turbulence around the civil rights movement, and where we place ourselves, how we define ourselves in relationship to these sort of monumental points in our history.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you might cut back across the way and go to the Reginald Lewis Museum. And within the Reginald Lewis Museum, you'll see two paintings that are framed in many ways by a piano that the museum has recently taken on as part of their permanent collection that is believed to be Billie Holiday's piano.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Right.
And right. One painting is of Diana Ross, I think, playing Billie Holiday.
Yes.
Holiday.
Yeah. I saw that. It's one of the images you have in your gallery.
And right. It really is about Billie Holiday, but it's also about her legacy and how we grapple with what she left behind, the legend of Billie Holiday, and how it's grown and morphed and changed over time.
Moving behind the piano, there's a 14-foot by 10-foot collage of silk images with cross-stitching, all sort of reworking some of the images that we've done in paintings, but as a kind of veil that then leads to a painting that we did of a lynching, which is a really terribly sad and problematic image, especially when you realize that the history of those images were done as postcards and souvenirs.
Right. Right.
And
that lynching image, you know, led to it was the basis of Strange Fruit, which is a song that Billie Holiday made famous as a protest song. So you have this image of this elegant woman, a jazz great and musician, who is singing this very haunting song that's talking about and grappling with this issue of lynching, you know, and it's the song that we most associate with her.
Yeah.
And so it's from this event of lynching, you go and discover Billie Holiday and who she was and what her voice was and what her political activism meant and stood for when she was alive and how that resonates today.
Jackie actually just came out of the sound studio yesterday laying down the final tracks. We've commissioned Imani Azuri to create a new video, a new audio scape. She's a audio artist that we've worked with a lot in the
mm-hmm.
past, and so that is a new piece that's debuting here for this exhibition. If you move, what's that?
Oh, I just wanted to say that, you know, we talk a lot about us and our artwork,
right.
But really, I hope that the viewer, as they move through these different institutions that are home here in Baltimore, that they would recognize that all of this, the dynamic art that's here, this really strong and vibrant and lively community that, you know, organizations like MAP and the Contemporary and the wonderful Walters and the Carroll House, which mm-hmm. is a historical venue. But still, there's such richness of art exhibition that is here in Baltimore.
What I'd love to be able to do is to come back once you come back and set this up to walk through it and do some more of this with you, because it's I'm just seeing what's on your website and seeing what the information was sent out ahead of time. This looks like this is going to be fascinating. I know the listeners for this show are going to want to be there. And we're talking with Bradley McCallum. You heard Jacqueline Tarry. They're married. They're artists. 10 years of their work will be here because of the Contemporary Museum. It's about the things we hear on the show all the time, about human struggle, social struggle, about people on the margins of our society, about a world we all think about, but seen through the eyes of two artistic voices and spirits who bring this to our city. Opens May 7th, actually July 31st, so you have a whole summer to see it. And I want to thank the two of you for being here.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538.